This is Pittsburgh Explainer from 90.5 WESA. Every week we help you understand some of the most important news from southwestern Pennsylvania. It's Friday, August 28th. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Liz Reed. The organization behind Pittsburgh's annual Pride Festival, the Delta Foundation, is no more. Pride was already canceled for this year due to the coronavirus pandemic, and board members say the organization just couldn't weather that financial hit. But the Delta Foundation has long been derided as not being representative of Pittsburgh's LGBTQ community. Critics say it has particularly excluded trans people and queer people of color. Now, a coalition of LGBTQ organizations, led by some of Delta's most vocal detractors, say they'll bring Pride back in 2021 and that it will be more inclusive and accessible than ever. Joining me to explain more is WESA's Katie Blackley. Katie, welcome to Pittsburgh Explainer.
Thanks for having me, Liz.
What reasons did the Delta Foundation's board give for dissolving the organization?
So the annual Pride celebration costs hundreds of thousands of dollars and brings in hundreds of thousands of dollars. And without that revenue, Delta said they would not be able to maintain their operations and put on some of the events that they have throughout the year. And that was the official response from the Delta Foundation board. This year has been a bit tumultuous for them. Their former board president resigned at the beginning of the year while he was facing some criminal charges. And that prompted an internal review of Delta's finances, which was earlier this month turned over to the district attorney's office.
So who are the organizations that are putting together next year's Pride celebration?
So this is a coalition of local LGBT advocacy groups. It's officially called the Pittsburgh LGBTQ Coalition, and it also includes Trans Uniting, a group that focuses on providing resources to transgender individuals. But overall, it's a coalition of these groups. And so the official press conference on Monday had representatives from those two groups, but they were also saying, you know, we want more people to partner with us. We want to make sure that this is the most inclusive pride that we can give. And we want everybody to have a voice, everybody to have a seat at the table. So Kenny West with the coalition was at the press conference they held on Monday, which was, you know, right after Delta Foundation said they were not going to be a foundation anymore. So Kenny laid out what the vision of the coalition's pride would be this next year. And it included things like making things affordable and making things accessible, which had been a big criticism of Delta-run pride, that a lot of things cost ton of money to go to, and you know, low-income people and a lot of people of color just couldn't afford it, or they didn't even feel welcome there.
We do not want to create a space where you have to pay $150 before you walk through the door. We want people to be able to come and enjoy their friends and celebrate their life and celebrate their people and them being their authentic selves.
Now, these groups are also holding weekly protests in front of the city-county building in downtown Pittsburgh. What specifically are they calling for?
They are specifically calling for more Black leadership on the Pittsburgh police force. So they have a list that says something like, you know, there are only so many sergeants of color, there's so many captains of color, and there's so many hundreds of people on the Pittsburgh police force. Why is this so disproportionately white and cisgender even? And they're also asking for things like a seat on the community police review board and to drop all the charges against some of the activists who have been recently arrested, including Nick Kraft, Lorenzo Rulli, and Dina Stanley. So they are also standing in solidarity with some of the other local groups who have been asking for demands, such as Danielle Brown, whose son died at Duquesne. They're also standing in solidarity with the Black Young and Educated group, who want to see changes to the police use of force law. And they're standing with the family of Ramir Talley, who would like to see the Wilkinsburg Police Department disbanded.
It's worth noting that many of the people leading the current anti-racist activist movement in Pittsburgh are queer people of color.
Absolutely. And they acknowledge that, even talking about Pride next year, about how Pride was started by a Black trans woman, and it was a riot. And this community of people, these Black queer people, have long fought for rights of their community, and so it's almost natural that they're going to step in. But it is interesting that a lot of the people who have been arrested recently or charged are part of the LGBTQ community. So they're planning on demonstrating outside the city county building each Wednesday. It's usually in the evening.
Katie, thank you so much for your reporting this week.
Thanks, Liz.
It's time for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Coming up on A Humankind Special, we examine the complicated dynamics at play in the U.S. Supreme Court. There have been some surprising recent rulings, But because the country is so polarized, partisan warfare over the judges has grown brutal. We'll reconstruct the wild history of how we got here. I'm David Freudberg. Join us for Humankind.
I applied for my mail-in ballot for the November election on August 4th. Afterwards, I got an email saying I would be notified once my application was processed and accepted. I still haven't gotten that email. When I called the Allegheny County Elections Office this week, I was told they're working through a backlog and I should receive that confirmation soon. I'm trying not to be anxious, but I'm anxious. Never before in my 2 decades of voting have I been worried about my vote not counting, but now I am. Here to either assuage or amplify my fears is WESA government and accountability reporter Lucy Perkins. Lucy, welcome to the show.
Hello.
People across the country are concerned about whether or not vote by mail will actually work this November. What's unique about the situation in Pennsylvania?
So basically what's happening in Pennsylvania, and the reason you're worried and the reason a lot of people are worried, is it has to do with how fast the mail can deliver mail and how that speed lines up with the deadlines that the state has set for you to get your ballot in. So in Pennsylvania, the U.S. Postal Service notified officials in Pennsylvania this summer saying that basically the deadlines don't work well with how quickly they can deliver the mail. So right now you can request a ballot up until a week before the election. So the week before the election, if you want to vote by mail and you haven't requested your ballot yet, you can request that ballot. The Postal Service says it will take a week for them to deliver that mail ballot to you, and they will need another week to get your completed ballot back to the elections office. So that's obviously like a 2-week total time frame if you request your ballot on the very last day, and obviously it wouldn't get back to the elections division in time for it to be counted on election night.
Right now, they have to get back to the elections division on election day or by election day, right?
By 8 p.m. on election night, yep.
Is there any chance of these deadlines changing in the next, I guess we got about 2 months left?
Well, a lot of people want them to change. The Secretary of State, Kathy Buchvar, asked the state Supreme Court to extend the deadlines for mail-in ballots. Basically, she's asking that the deadline be extended by 3 days. So, as I said, right now you have until 8 p.m. on election night to get your ballot back to the elections officials. And she wants it to be 3 days later, so by the Friday after the election. And she hopes that that will give voters a little bit more time to get that ballot in if they requested it.
That still is short of what the USPS is asking Pennsylvania to do, though, right?
It is. And so everyone is saying to request your ballot early for that reason. And you can, as you have done, you can request your ballot really early. And people are suggesting that once you get that ballot, fill it out and send it back as soon as you can.
Now, one of the workarounds is to use these official ballot drop boxes. Can you explain what these are and why is the Trump administration suing county elections divisions with regard to these drop boxes?
Yeah, so drop boxes are something that a lot of other states that do mail-in voting use. They look different all over the place, but they kind of resemble, you know, like a blue USPS mailbox that you see on the corner in your neighborhood or something like that. And they are basically just stationed in various places in the county. And so say you get your mail-in ballot the Monday before the Tuesday election. So there's really, really no way that if you put your ballot back in the mail Tuesday morning, it would get to the elections division by 8 p.m. on election night. With a drop box, you can take your completed ballot and you just go and drop it off in that drop box. It's safe, it's secure, it's locked. Oftentimes there are cameras on them for security reasons. And those drop boxes are handled by the elections division. So it just takes the Postal Service out of the equation. You are delivering it directly back to the county. The Trump administration is suing elections divisions in every county in Pennsylvania because they say that drop boxes are not mentioned in Act 77, which is this big voting law that was passed last year. It allows everyone to vote by mail and it allows officials to do a lot of what they're doing in the pandemic. They're saying that drop boxes are not mentioned in that law, and so they should not be allowed. And they are also arguing that drop boxes increase the possibility of voter fraud.
What's the status of that case?
The most recent action, I believe, is the federal judge who's overseeing the case put the lawsuit on pause while a bunch of other lawsuits get worked out. He said that state courts need to interpret election code in Pennsylvania before he will weigh in on the case. So that's on pause right now.
What can people do if they receive their ballots, you know, in the example you gave, like the Monday before election day, or if they don't get their ballots at all by election day, what can they do to make sure their vote is counted?
So if you get your ballot and you're worried about it getting back to the elections division on time, but you have filled out your mail ballot, you can return that to your county elections office in person. You cannot take it to your local polling place. They will say, we can't accept this, which is true. The other option is if you request a mail ballot and you just never get it on election day, and it's a not ideal option if you're trying to avoid going to the polls, but you can go to your polling place and fill out a provisional ballot. So if you, you know, send your ballot back, if you get your mail-in ballot weeks ahead of time and you send it back and you check online and it says it hasn't been received yet, or if you just never receive your ballot in the first place, you can go to your polling place and fill out a provisional ballot if you're worried about any of those situations happening. Ballots have barcodes on them, so your vote won't be counted twice. But that is something that people can do if they are worried about their vote being counted on election day, or if they are stressed about their mail ballot not having been received.
Lucy, thank you so much for untangling some of these issues around vote by mail in the November election.
Thanks.
It's time for another break. Stay with us.
Have companies like Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google become too big?
These are all companies that are at the center of our economy and our communication system. They all copy, kill, or buy rivals.
What guideline would have prevented Facebook from acquiring a company with no revenue and 30 million users around the world?
On the next Intelligence Squared US, should Washington break up big tech?
Friday evening at 8 on 90.5 WESA.
Pittsburgh's Public Art Commission will soon hold a public hearing on whether to remove the Christopher Columbus statue in Schenley Park. More than 14,000 people have signed a change.org petition asking for the statue's removal. WESA's arts and culture reporter Bill O'Driscoll is following this story. Bill, thanks for being on Explainer.
You're welcome, Liz.
What's the background of the Columbus statue in Pittsburgh?
Well, it sits in Schenley Park, not far from Phipps Conservatory. It's quite a big statue. I think it's about 50 feet tall. It's a bronze statue with Columbus looking very heroic and being labeled Discoverer of America. The statue stood since 1958. It was erected by an Italian-American fraternal organization. Over the past 25 years or so, it's been repeatedly vandalized, I think starting in the 90s, by people who object to Columbus's role in the slavery and genocide of indigenous peoples, dating back to his first landing on the islands of the Caribbean in 1492.
There are Columbus statues in cities all across the country. Pittsburgh is not unique in this respect. How did he come to be this symbol of Italian heritage in America?
The sort of Italian fraternal groups, the kind of social organizations that are still around, trace it back to discrimination against Italian immigrants to the United States starting in like the 19th century. And they wanted a way to sort of be part of America, basically. And what they did was, they lobbied governments and things. They raised money to put these statues up. And they felt, according to people who study art history and even to some of these sort of Italian groups themselves, you know, Columbus was their attachment to American history because he, quote unquote, discovered America, which is, people no longer think that's the case, of course, because there are already people here. Columbus himself never set foot on the North American landmass. They claimed Columbus as Italian, even though Columbus was born 400 years before Italy existed. But he was their attachment to American history, to the American story. One art historian I spoke to put it this way: Columbus was Italian's way to become white, basically.
Can you talk about the current argument about why people want this removed?
It's a result of sort of social uprisings and protests. If you remember the Stephen Foster statue in Pittsburgh, which was called by critics racist because it depicted Foster, the Pittsburgh-born composer, sort of looming over a black man who was barefoot and playing a banjo, who was supposed to be a slave, an enslaved person. And this statue had offended generations of black people and people of all kinds in Pittsburgh as racist. The move to take it down in Pittsburgh came after the big move nationally to remove Confederate monuments, which happened back in 2017. And then that statue was removed in Pittsburgh in 2018. This time, of course, there's the Black Lives Matter themed protests that have arisen. So Columbus statues now have come down, and over a dozen cities have actually taken them down. The cities themselves have removed them. And in several other cases, just protesters have come and ripped the statues down of their own accord. The calls to remove the Columbus statue in Pittsburgh and criticism of it date back years, but this new wave is definitely a result of this wave of protests across the country.
So I understand the next step is a public hearing, which we're expecting to happen within the next month. Who ultimately decides if the statue comes down?
Funny you should ask, Liz, because at the Art Commission's monthly meeting Wednesday, they were supposed to discuss this matter, in other words, how to pursue the potential removal of the statue and take public comment on it. The meeting was sort of detoured for an hour because there's a disagreement between the mayor's office, the Peduto administration, and the Art Commission over who has that authority. In a nutshell, the Art Commission believes that according to the city charter, it has the authority to unilaterally remove a statue by a two-thirds majority vote of the Art Commission. This time, now, the Peduto administration, its law department is saying, has a new interpretation of the city's charter that says the Art Commission is merely an advisory board to the mayor, which can recommend taking the statue down, but then it's ultimately up to the mayor. In other words, if the mayor decides he doesn't want the statue to come down, even though the Art Commission recommended taking it down, the Art Commission can't really override him. I should say that the city solicitor who is representing the administration could not point to specific language in the part of the city charter talking about the Art Commission that said the mayor was involved in the process. She was saying instead that it's sort of implicit in the overall city charter under state law that gives the mayor broad authority to dispose of city property as he wishes. So it's really rather murky and rather confusing still at this point.
Well, setting that aside for a moment, do you have a sense of how the members of the Art Commission feel about potentially removing this statue?
Without naming names or getting into detail, I know that there is widespread concern about this statue as being racist, as being sort of a monument to genocide, to somebody who was a really bad actor historically. I think it's fair to say they have some deep concerns about the statue. But yeah, I think if I was going to bet on it, I would say the sense is that, like with the Foster statue, there's probably a pretty good movement on the Art Commission that it should come down.
Bill, thanks so much for your reporting on this topic.
You're welcome.
That's Pittsburgh Explainer for this week. Our show is produced by Katie Blackley. Patrick Doyle is our editor this week. You can find all of our news coverage at our website, WESA.FM, and of course on the air at 90.5 FM. I'm your host, Liz Reed. Thanks for listening. Let's talk next week.